Very pleased to be joined right now by Browns president Mike Holmgren. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vic.
So, Mike, first I want to start with something very special. The Red Kettle campaign kickoff, which took place earlier in the day, you and your wife Kathy there for the traditional tree lighting at the arcade and making a donation, a personal donation of $10,000 with a match from the Browns, really a great thing to be a part of.
It really is. It gives us great joy as a family and as a couple and as an organization to participate and help the Salvation Army. It's a wonderful organization. It does so much for so many who can't do for themselves. And we're very excited about the kettle drive. You know, we're going to have the kettles out at the stadium in force on Sunday, and then, of course, they're out all through the Christmas season all over. So it's such a great organization, Vic, and this is our way of our small way in trying to help.
Yeah, you and Kathy, the honorary co-chairs, and it's a pretty aggressive goal, as I've seen it here, $715,000 this year. So there's obviously a great hope out there, and I know this community is a very giving community. Tough times that it goes through, people do give back.
Oh, there's no question about it, and this is a giving community, and it's been my experience where we have lived in other cities too for this organization, and at this particular time of the year, people step up. They really do. They care about their fellow man, and they care about helping people that can't quite get it together themselves, and I'm always very, very encouraged by the giving and what happens at this time of year.
Shifting to the football side, obviously a tough one still to digest from a couple of days back for you especially, I'm sure, as much as anyone, but now that you've had a little time to reflect on it, what is the perspective, what is the takeaway for an outcome and for a game that ends in the fashion that one did?
Well, it's painful, you know, and I think no one suffers more than the coaching staff and the players when you lose a game like that. But on the positive side of it, they rallied, they battled back to put themselves in a position to win the game. And you know, I've always said, if you're at this as long as I've been at, you'll see everything. And I'm sorry I saw that, what happened at the end of the game, but we're in a position to win the game, at least go ahead with not much time left on the clock. And 99 out of 100 times you make that kick, and then you're feeling much better about things. But I was proud of the way the team battled back. I think Colt McCoy had a very fine football game. I think our young running backs, who haven't played very much, I think they stepped up a little bit, and our defense continues to play well. So, you know what? We are in this for the long haul. We have a plan. We're going to execute our plan, and sometimes at this stage of our development, if we get a couple injuries or this or that, we aren't quite mature enough to deal with it in our depth, as far as our depth goes, but we will get there. So, you know, there's no the building's in good shape, and the owner's excited still, and so am I. And now we just have to roll up our sleeves and get ready for this one.
That's the thing. In an outcome like that, it's easy to get so caught up in that and just not recognize anything else that happened up until that botched field goal. But there were quite a few positives, and you started with Colt McCoy. I thought really for the first time this season, it all seemed to come together for him. I know we're not seeing a touchdown, so that part's frustrating. But from your evaluation, what were some of the things you saw that statistically and almost every other way made for, I think, his best day of the regular season?
Well, I think he made good decisions for the most part. I think he threw the ball with accuracy. I mean, the receivers, a couple of them, Ben Watson made a fabulous catch during the game, but he ran the team well. I think we had trouble in the red zone, and we had trouble on third down. And those are two areas that we know about. And with a young team, those are the areas that aren't going to be quite where they will be, you know, down the road. But those are the areas we must improve in. And then if we convert a couple more third downs, if we score a touchdown instead of a field goal in the red zone, then the game takes on a different shape. But all in all, you know, I think offensively we functioned okay. We ran the ball okay. We just did. We're not scoring points. We're having trouble in the red zone.
Can you put a finger on why no touchdowns to this point? What I know it's not one answer, and I know it's not one thing. But as you go through your, I'm sure you've compiled a list in your mind, general sense of where the shortcomings have been in that regard.
Well, I think when you're teaching a particular type of offense, and we're having to teach this offense to this group, that the subtleties of the offense or the preciseness of a particular route or a series of routes, you don't have it right away. And as a result, you know, guys bump into each other, things are just a little bit off. And in the red zone, think, as an example, things happen very quickly. The margin for error there, if you don't do it exactly right, the play usually doesn't work. And that's kind of what's been happening to us. Now, we have a great field goal kicker. We're kicking field goals, and our defense is keeping us in games. But those are things we must convert into touchdowns. And I think down the road you'll see that. You'll see the percentages to be much different, you know, maybe this season as well, but certainly in the years to come.
Mike Holmgren, our guest, president of the Browns on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The other parts of this offense that, as we touched upon, were better looking. The running game with Chris Obanaya stepping up. You're really been your last resort guy so far, and he runs hard and runs pretty effectively, 4.7 yard average. And in general, you had people like Greg Little and others making plays. The trickery that was put in place, gadgetry that Pat Shurmur incorporated, mostly was effective. I thought all of that was good, and yet the thing that seems to the results of that were from an offensive line that I thought for the first time in a while really played a strong game start to finish.
I think they were pretty consistent in the ball game. Yeah, I do. You know, and we've got, you know, Pinks is a rookie playing left guard. Sean Laval, a second year, didn't play at all last year really. So in essence, this is his rookie year. You know, and you have Mack and Thomas and Pashos and so on. But we're getting a lot of good experience for those guys. Sometimes, you know, where you see us, they had a good game. But where you see them have trouble a little bit at times is when they're gaming us or they're giving a little different look. And it just takes an offensive line more than any other group on your football team a little more time to become cohesive and together. And that's what you're seeing. And I think the off season, if you had to say one group, who would be affected most by the lack of an off-season program? And I'd always have to say it'd be the offensive line, because you really have to depend on the guy next year, and it's quite intricate.
And they have to see these things, right, Mike? As far as the gaming you talk about, you can coach it and advise them all you want. George Warhop does a great job, and I'm sure, and Pat Shurmur and others, but they have to physically go through it.
Absolutely, and George does do a great job. George Warhop is an outstanding line coach, and his guys work very, very hard for him. And but offensively, you got to see it. You got to actually go through it, experience it. It all looks very nice on paper until things start flying around very hot and heavy, and so then that's what we're going through right now.
And defensively, to really be as humiliated as that side of the ball was at Houston, to come back with a game like it had Sunday, I thought was also encouraging.
Well, I think that speaks to the makeup of the team we have and the type of young man that's playing for us. You know, we don't always do the right thing, you know, because of our youth and enthusiasm, if you will. But there's no quit and there's no give up. And they are, if they don't, something bad happens, they want to fight back. And that's what you saw, I think. I think a defensive team that really, you know, we got pushed around a little bit against Houston. They came back, and it wasn't going to happen again. It helps to be at home, and helps to have our crowd there and our fans there. But I think they responded very well.
You mentioned the owner, Randy Lerner, and his enthusiasm level pretty high. And I know you guys talk, obviously, very regularly about everything. But can you give a feel about that, about how, because I know deep down his emotions are like that of any fans, that it's agony for him to see what takes place. But then when in the cool light of dawn, when you have a chance to sit down and talk, generally, I won't ask for this for the private details, but if you can give a general feel for what those discussions are like and you know, why you can remain as positive as you do.
Well, I think what you stated was very true. I mean, here we have an owner who cares deeply about the Browns. and he has for a long time. But when he hired me and asked me to come in and try and do this, okay, I sense that. That's why I'm here. Okay, then you have Tom Heckert, Pat Shermer, the other fellows we hired, our other personnel people, Randy. There is one plan. We have agreed on one way of doing this. And we're all in agreement. We're all rowing the boat in the same direction. And it just takes some time. We're going to break the cycle, if you will, of the last 10, 12 years. We're not going to blow this thing up because we lost a couple of games or we missed a field goal. You know, and I think in years past, there was at times a sense that that could happen. Well, that's not going to happen. These men, we're going to stick together, and we're going to get this done, and we have a plan on how to do this. And I know it's hard for the fans at times to listen to me say that because they've probably heard it before. And I guess I'm asking for trust. And, you know, after a tough loss, listen, no one suffers more than I do after a loss. And it's hard. But what do? You roll up your sleeves, you go back to work, you stick with the plan, you keep coaching your guys, and then eventually, the party at the end will be fun for everybody.
Perfect. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Vic.
Browns President Mike Holmgren joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's brought to you by Liberty Ford and Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Stick around for much more on ESPN 850 WKNR.